preached about, but we don't want to mature and take on the responsibility of what is preached about as well. Because yes, God wants to bless you, but what needs to balance that message out is that there is a responsibility that goes along with the blessing that God sends into your life. Because he's not going to bless you that you can just waste more of what he's given you. But he's saying, when you show me that you can really handle what it is that I've already given you, he says, that's when I can open the river gates up and allow the blessings to flood your life. If you're with me, say, I'm with you, Pastor. See, when you're really mature in God, we come to discover that the quality of my living is based on my giving. It's based on what I give. Based on what I give. That determines, watch this, the fulfillment or the level of living in my life because of what I give. And I take on the characteristics of God because the Bible says, all of us know this, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that what did he do? He gave. He gave. And so when we adopt this approach and not the world's approach, then we can really walk in the fulfillment as it relates to our level of living. Now, in here this morning, there are three levels of givers that's in here right now. There's three levels of giving. And if you're writing, I want you to write this down. There's three levels. There's three levels of people who give. First of all, that's the get even givers. Get even. That I ain't going to give unless I can get even with what I'm giving. You know, I got to see how I'm going to get this back in return. Get even givers. These are the people that unless they can break even, unless they can come out on top, they have this, watch this, business mindset. These are people who give from the head and not from the heart. Because they always have to see how it's going to come back. Baby, don't you know that there's some ways that God bless you that you can't see it coming back because it don't come back in the same form in which you gave it? And so you got to be very careful if you are a get-even giver to say, well, I'm not going to do this because what am I going to get in return for it? Get-even givers. That there are going to be times when you give and it seems like you're not going to get anything back. But please know that God doesn't allow any of us to give without us receiving in return. The get even givers. Number two, there are the grit givers. These are not grits like you eat, but grit givers. They sit down and they grit their teeth. These are the people that need a hurricane to come to confirm that the Lord is leading them to give. These are the people who sit in church and the Spirit of the Lord tell them, I want you to give your tithe today. And you say, Lord, if that was you, let two camels walk in here right now. I'm talking grit givers. I mean, it takes a major prayer meeting just to get you to volunteer in a certain area. Well, I'm not led to help the teen ministry. I'm not led to give out baskets at Thanksgiving. How you got to be led for stuff like that? That ought to just be automatic. But sometimes we miss our blessing because we're trying to negotiate with God. You know when God speaks to you. And when God speaks to you, even when it relates to your giving, you have to crucify your flesh and say, God, I'm going to do what your spirit tells me to do. Grit givers. Some of y'all, just a moment ago, you was, I don't really know. Grit givers. Major prayer meeting to find out if God wants me to volunteer, to help out, to lend a hand. Well, you got to pray about giving somebody a ride home from work. You know, it's just when you're way too spiritual about your giving. See, the get-even giver want gas money, and the grit giver want the Lord to just do everything. Like, he want God to show up and say, take her home. See, there's the get-even giver, there's the grit giver, but then there is the grace giver. There's those of us who says, God, if you bless me with it, I'll give it. It's when you ask the question, Lord, how do you want to get glory out of me today? Because I understand my vocation. I understand my career. But how do you want me to use all of this that somebody else can know your loving kindness? Because you do know that the only hands that God uses are your hands. The only lips that he used to speak encouragement to other people's lives are your lips. The only talent that he used to help humanity is your talent. And so when you are a grace giver, you say, like we used to sing in the old church, when his spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart, I'll agree. And my answer will be, yes, Lord, yes, because I'm a grace giver. I live to give. See, and when you're in this position, let me help you now because we have to mature. When you're in this position, you're always looking for avenues to give and not avenues to get. Because when you are a grace giver, you already know that if I give, I shall get. That's why Jesus said, blessed, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Why? Because when I'm giving, I'm always going to have it to give. You ever notice that when we ask for people to give sacrificially, it's always, most of the time, the same people that's giving, because it's more blessed to give than to receive. It means that every time you give, you're going to always have it to give the next time to receive. So you just give to receive? No, I give to receive so I can give again because I'm a grace giver and God allows my giving to satisfy my living. See, and this is what Jesus was teaching here in this particular discourse. Some call it the Sermon on the Mount. It is congruent with the teaching in Matthew chapter number 5 of the Beatitudes and so forth and so on. But Jesus had to teach the people then the same thing that we're in need of right now. And I believe that it is so important, even as we're living in this American culture, that as Christians we stay grounded. That we don't become like the world, always trying to get, and not understand the principle of stewardship. See, and so what Jesus had to do, read it in your own time. He's teaching for a couple of chapters here. But what he had to do in Luke chapter number 6, he had to explain to the people where their real source of significance comes from in their lives. Because these people had circumstances just like ours. Like people today, many of them thought that their happiness came from their possessions. They thought that holding exalted positions and having certain influence around the community brought happiness into their life. And their circumstances were so bad that they said, if I don't have certain possessions or if I don't have certain positions, then my life is not worthwhile. So they must have been shocked when Jesus was trying to teach them that your life is not about what you have, but your life is about what you give. Man, if we can just get that ingrained into our churches, we can begin to establish the kingdom of God like never before. That life is not about how much you can accumulate. But life, when you understand that I'm a river and not a reservoir, that God allows blessings to flow through me. Because I'm a giver. He allows it to flow through me. And when it flows through me, I get taken care of as well. Because God says, now I can use you as a manager of resources. Because you're not going to take everything and spend it on yourself. But you're going to give that other people can be blessed as well. I wasn't expecting a whole lot of hand claps. Because I know some of us, this is hard for us to digest. But I'm going to do like my mama used to do. I'm going to chew it up and then give it to you. See, and Jesus had to allow them to discover. Now it's very interesting because I see some things in this long passage that we've just read today that I believe would bless us. And what I believe is in this passage, hear me now, is the secret of being a giver. A secret of being a giver. Because you can fake a lot of things in life. Oh, you can fake worship. I mean, you can just hang around the church long enough and you can get everything down, Pat, your little dance. Your little buck and everything. You can fake all of that, but you cannot fake giving. You can't do that. And so Jesus is teaching here about the secrets of a giver. And the first thing that he's teaching on is that givers, number one, have a different heart. Because giving is not about your money, it's about your heart. Did y'all get that? Giving is not about your money. It's about your heart. Because if you have the heart to give, God is going to make sure that you have the resources to give. Because your grandmama and them, they didn't have no money, but they had the heart of a giver. That's why they was feeding everybody in the neighborhood, and you were sitting wondering, why are you feeding everybody? And we barely got enough, because they had a different type of heart on the inside of them. And that's what Jesus is teaching in these first few verses. That's why he says, listen, to those of you who can hear what I'm saying in verse 27, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. You know what he was saying? Bless those that's not even worthy of being blessed. Because when you are a giver, you got a different type of heart. That you don't give so other people can be blessed. You give so you can be fulfilled. Look what he's saying. He says in verse number 29, to those that strike you or talk about you or run your name through the mud, he says, turn your other cheek. What he's telling them is, don't let other people taint your heart for giving. That just because they think they played you or they got over on you, don't let that stop you from having a giver's heart. I ain't gonna give to you no more, but that ain't gonna stop me from giving anymore, because I have a giver's heart, baby. And giving is for me, it really ain't for you. So watch this. Don't allow, what he's letting them know is, listen, don't allow what people do to corrupt your heart for giving. Don't allow, because one pastor misused money in a church, for you to stop giving money to the church altogether. No, what he's saying is, you got to have a different type of heart on the inside of you. Well, I don't give people money no more, pastor, because 7 years ago, I gave my sister $35. She ain't never gave it back. I don't give nobody nothing no more. No, he's saying you got to have a different heart on the inside of you. He says, give to everyone who asks of you. And for him who takes away your goods, don't even ask for it back. Don't be trying to call, blow them up, talking about, where my $75. Jesus says, nope, because you didn't even give it so that you can get something back. If you couldn't afford to give it, you shouldn't have gave it in the first place. He's saying, watch this. When you give, don't hound them down about it. Because the Bible says in the book of Haggai, for those of you who read your Bible, that they're going to get money, they're going to put it in their pockets with holes in it. That you're going to begin to see that people who mess over you, God got a way of making sure that they do not prosper. But you just keep on giving. You just keep on loving. You just don't allow that to taint your heart. Man, I've had people who I've gave money to, and it looked like on the surface that they played me, but God then gave it back to me time and time again, and they still struggling, even with what they took or what they tried to scheme. They still couldn't get ahead. Don't you allow that to hurt your heart. When you see them, bless them again. How you doing? How your mama and them doing? You ain't hurting nothing, because when I give, I ain't giving to you. I'm giving out of my heart, and God is going to repay me. So I'm not going to stop giving because you did something stupid. Because when you have a giver's heart, you don't give for other people's benefit. You give for your benefit. It blesses me to be a blessing to other people. Don't you know I got something that's on my life that says I'm going to be a blessing, and that people that come into my life, when I bless them, God is going to make sure I always have to be a blessing to somebody else? Nudge your neighbor and say, guard your heart, guard your heart. You can't allow what other people do. This is what Jesus is trying to tell them with this love your enemy stuff. He says, if you just give to people who you like, you ain't doing nothing by doing that. That's what people in the world do. You sell drugs, they front you money to get started. I mean, come on now. Don't act like you doing something because you gave to somebody you like. No, even when people mess over you, is what Jesus is saying, you have to have a giver's heart. Because you understand the secret to my living is my giving. Oh boy, lift that hand right now. Say, Lord, I release them in the name of Jesus. See, this is how you're maturing in God. You see what I'm saying? This how you come, because, you know, I used to encourage them. I used to give them rides all the time, pastor, and now that my car broke, they don't ever want to come pick me up. I ain't giving. When I give my stuff, pastor, I ain't letting nobody ride with me. I'm telling you, I'm going to just be, no. See, Jesus said you have to have a different type of heart. I'm still going to love them because now I'm mature, and I understand that God has just blessed me with a giver's heart. With a giver's heart. Man, I, I,
I used to wonder when I was growing up, man, my daddy used to be helping everybody. And I'm like, man, I'm around here needing some new shoes, and you around here helping out other people and all this kind of stuff. And I came to understand as I was studying for this teaching that my dad just had a giver's heart. He couldn't help it. And some of you, the more you try to hold grudges and the more you try to be mean to people, the Holy Spirit just be convicting you. Why? Because you know you got a giver's heart, and I can't hold. You know they ain't really hurt you. I mean, it look bad, but they ain't really hurt nothing, because God is always giving you double for all your trouble. So Jesus is telling them, he says, watch this. He says, the same way you want people to treat you, you treat other people. See that? He says you have to have a giver's heart. Let the church say a giver's heart. But he keeps on teaching there, because not only does he says you have to have a giver's heart, the secret to giving is not just having a giver's heart, but a secret to giving is that givers, they understand the law of sowing and reaping. Now you got to get this now. You got to get this. If you don't understand this law of sowing and reaping, you'll never give. You'll never receive from life what God wants to do through you if you don't understand this universal spiritual law of sowing and reaping. That when I sow, I'm going to reap. And that's what Jesus teaches. Look what he says. Because he's not just talking about giving of money. Look what he says. He says, don't sow a judging spirit in verse 37, and you shall not be judged. Don't condemn other people, and you won't be condemned. Forgive people when they do you wrong, and you're going to be forgiven when you do wrong. Sowing and reaping. Look, and then he brings it down to your finances. Give, watch what he's saying, and what? It's going to be given back to you, but it's not going to be given back to you like you gave it. He says, because you got to understand the law of seed time and harvest, that whenever I plant a seed, I don't get a seed in return. When I plant a seed, I get a harvest in return. Y'all ain't getting it. I know when you get it, Beacon. Like he's saying, so the law of sowing and reaping is very dear to a giver's heart, because a giver understands that every time that I give, that it's going to be given back to me. But it's not going to be given in the same form that I gave it. But it's going to be given to me in abundance. Let me see if I can put it where you can reach. All right, when I was young, I was very industrious. I had an entrepreneurial spirit. I used to rake leaves to make money, because I just told y'all my daddy wasn't buying me no new shoes. So I used to have to work. He taught me the principle of work. So I used to rake leaves. And so when I rake leaves, my dad used to have these big 100-gallon trash bags, put the leaves in. And so when I would rake leaves, I would have to put them in the trash bag. And my daddy told me one day, he says, son, you're not getting all you can get in the trash bag, because you stuff in the trash bag the wrong way. He says, when you put the leaves in the trash bag, he says, what you got to do is you got to press it down. He says, watch this. And then you put some more in, and then you got to shake it and press it back down. He says, so you can get all that you're supposed to get into the bag. And man, as I was studying this, the Lord brought this to my attention. He says, this is what happened when you give. He says, I don't just give back to you, but I give it, I put it in, I press it down, I shake it together, and then I tie it up, and then I send it to you. And see, that's the law of sowing and reaping, that when I give, God's going to give it back to me, but he's going to make sure that it's real dense, that my blessing is not going, I'm going to be ashamed because I sowed so little, in how it is that God has given me so much back. Because you understand the law of sowing and reaping. But if you don't understand this spiritual law, you'll never sow. And if you never ever sow, you can never reap what God wants you to reap. Because if you hold on to a seed is all you ever have. But if you plant a seed, then you can receive the harvest that comes from that seed. Let me show you this, because some of y'all don't believe fat meat greasy. Go with me to Galatians chapter number 6. Go there very quickly. We're going to come back. Galatians chapter number 6. See, you have to know that every time you sow See, and I don't give no more. I graduated from giving. I done started sowing. Because when I give, I got to expect you to give it back. But when I sow, I tap into a universal law that ensures that I'm going to get a return.